And I've often wondered how many times do we get so near what God wants us to have and wants us to see, and because we don't realize how close we are to that fruition, we slack off or we stop a little bit, lose a little momentum, and then wonder why it never comes on through. I'd hate to know that I had come within a couple of feet of an artesian well and stopped drilling because I thought I had drilled deep enough. Be a tragedy, wouldn't it? And you know, we've been in revival, this is the 14th week that I've been here. You've been in revival since January the 4th, and actually a little bit before that, because you're in revival in November and December also. And sometimes after being in revival for that length of time, we say, well, you know, enough's enough. Somebody holler, uncle. Calf rope or something. You say, well, we get tired. Yes, we do. I've been in revival since 1970. I can tell you a little bit about getting tired. And when I shut it down here, I'm going to be going someplace else, and I'm still going to be in revival. I've been in continuous revival without any break since 1970. Yes, I do know what it feels like to be in a protracted meeting. But you know, I feel that we have come so close to what God has for us, and I'm just hard-headed enough and silly enough, if you want to look at it that way, to believe God enough that I'm going to press on through, and if it's not but another foot, let me dig it. And if I'm not but a prayer away, God, let me pray that prayer. Because I intend to see it. You hear me? I don't care how loud the devil roars, how high he jumps, what kind of an attitude or spirit he inflicts upon us. I intend to see the glory of the Lord that is meted out unto His children in these last days of time. And you know what? I believe if I was you and say, well, you know, we've been in revival since January 4th. You think I'd stop short now? And realize that if I stop short now and I pull out the pipes, that if I'm going to dig to the artesian well again, I got to start all over. I'm going to tell you, we're a lot closer to go on than we would be to stop and start up again. I just kind of feel like in the spirit we're on that last leg of the journey. We're hammering that last section of pipe. We're about ready to pump in. You know, Brother Braswell likened it unto making a freezer of homemade ice cream. You know, it gets a little hard to crank when it starts getting ready. But if you quit cranking too soon, you'll just have slush. But you crank it a few more times after it gets a little bit rough and hard, and you'll have what you're looking for. So crank on. Crank on. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight and would like to turn with me, we're going to read from the Word of the Lord, a very familiar portion of Scripture, one that is very well known to all of us. I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 and reading verse 19, and I wondered why I felt this particular passage of Scripture, because it is so old, it is so familiar to us that every one of us know this story. But this is what the Lord gave to me and impressed me with, so I want to give it to you. And I don't know that I'll do any preaching tonight, but let me share with you my heart. Verse 19 out of chapter 19, the book of 1 Kings. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was a 12. And Elijah passed
by him and cast his mantle upon him.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Well, how many times have we read this portion of Scripture? How familiar it is to all of us. I want to share with you some things that I feel in the Spirit. And maybe I won't do any preaching, then again, maybe I will. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But I have looked at this so many times, and of course, I've always enjoyed the story of Elijah, that old prophet of fire and of power, and then Elisha, that prophet of the double portion. I've always enjoyed that, and it's always had a little special place in my heart and in my life and my thinking. But I was looking at this the other day, and as I looked at it, I saw some things and felt some things that I really hadn't thought much about before. I saw it as though it were the church. I want to talk to you about those things that I saw and those things that I felt, if the Lord would help us tonight. I don't know, for those of you that are trying to get these tapes in order and title them, you may have as good a title as I could think of, because I don't have any idea what the title is tonight. And when I get through, some of you may title it a mess. I don't know. But we'll see. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the mantle. And so I guess if that's what you want to put, just right on there, the mantle. The mantle. Maybe that's not a good title, but that's the only one I can think of. You get a better one, you tell me, and I'll use it sometime down the road. I want you to look at Elisha. Elisha was an unknown individual. There was nothing to qualify him. There was nothing to recommend him as successor to the prophet Elijah. Elisha was a farmer. Quite a well-to-do farmer, I might add. He would have been upper middle class or lower high class, whatever you want to call it. He had a good living. He had an inheritance that was sure. He had security. He had everything that a man could want as far as this world's goods were concerned. One thing that you might care to note about Elijah, he wasn't lazy. And though he might have been able to set at the house and hire somebody to do his work, the Bible said he was found out there plowing. Now, I used to plow, believe it or not. In fact, I've done something probably some of you haven't done. I've plowed with the span of mules before. I've plowed with the tractor, and I've run different equipment, and I'll tell you, it's quite unique plowing with mules, and particularly mules that have been trained to plow with. And you get a good span of mules, and you got to pick them up and put them down to follow with that plow, because they don't fool around. And the Bible said that Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Friend, I want you to know he was getting with the program. He wasn't fooling around or waiting for somebody to come hand it to him on a silver platter. He was doing something about his inheritance. I think that's very noteworthy. Some people sit with their mouth open and their hands outstretched waiting for God to roll back the rooftop and open the windows of heaven and rain out upon them the great manifestations of power and glory and of His blessing. But I'm going to tell you, you better pick them up and put them down. You better get out in the field and be doing some work or you'll never get it. It won't fall on you accidentally. And Elisha was plowing. I want you to notice one thing here. This was just another day in the life of Elisha. He got up before the sun rose, and he worked till the sun went down. He went in and ate a little bite and fell in the bed and slept until the time to get up the next morning. And when Elisha got up that day, there was no indication that it was going to be any different that day than it was any other day. He didn't feel all quivery inside because he didn't know the prophet was going to pass by.
He didn't have the jitters. He didn't have, you know, that feeling, oh, this is a day. The hair didn't stand up on the back of his neck. It was just an ordinary day. I want you to notice that. It was a day like 100 days before it. The sun rose the same way it had been rising. He probably ate the same thing that he'd been eating for 15 years because we're all creatures of habit. There was nothing that indicated this was going to be the day that would change his life and his lifestyle. He got up and he yoked those oxen together and he headed out toward the North 40. And he was a-plowing. As he plowed that field, somewhere over the horizon, there was another man that was the prophet of fire, the prophet of power, Elijah. And when Elijah got up and stretched and picked up that old threadbare, patched, weather-beaten garment, God spoke to him and said, I got something for you to do today. What's the woman to do, God? I want you to go over to where Elisha is plowing, the son of Shaphat. And I want you to take your mantle and wrap around his shoulders. Now, Elijah was a well-known figure in the land. Everybody knew him because at one time or another they had been exposed to him. I've got my own personal idea about how I think Elijah looked. I picture him a lot like Brother Barnes. He was probably an ascetic-looking man. He probably was thin, and his skin was probably like old leather, weather-beaten with the passage of time and exposure to the elements, and piercing eyes that flash like lightning across the sky. I figure he had a long hook nose that was crooked, kind of like Brother Husher's nose. And I figure when he walked, he didn't just walk, he walked. Because he walked with a purpose, and he walked with an anointing, and he walked with an authority. And Elijah got up, and because it was springtime, must have been springtime, because that's the time you plow your fields. He didn't need his mantle because it wasn't cold. But he picked it up and slung it over his shoulder and stalked down that dusty trail. And as he popped that horizon, he saw Elisha plowing down there with 12 yoke of oxen. Elijah did not worry about the furrows and the rows that had been made. He didn't tiptoe through that particular field. He stalked across those rows. Why? He was on a mission for the Lord. He had something to do, and he wasn't worried about ordinary or natural things. Elijah probably never even saw him coming. Elijah's so busy watching that row, making sure it was straight. My grandfather plowed 90 acres of land with the span of mules. And when my dad come back out of the service after the war, he put my dad to work plowing. Went out there one day and one of those rows was a little crooked. Papa said, son, I think you need to plow that row over because it's a little crooked. Dad just been through the war, you know, been through all those things. And he is tough, and he had been shot at. And he had trained and trained other men, and he is big and tough. And there Papa was, that old farmer, staying home. And my dad just threw the plowshare down and said, well, Papa, if you don't like the way I plowed it, you plow it yourself. Papa didn't say a word. He never exchanged words with her. He walked over to the edge of the field and picked up a pine knot. You know what a pine knot is? Yeah. He walked back over to where my dad was, and everybody in the family called him son. And he said, what did you say, son? Dad said, how did you want it plowed? You see, when you're plowing, you got to keep your mind on your business or you'll get in trouble. Elisha wasn't looking for anything. It was an ordinary day in the life of Elisha. I want to impress that on you. There was nothing different. No bells were ringing. No sirens were screaming. There was no earth shaking. And there was no fire falling. And there was no wind blowing. It was just an ordinary day in the life of a farmer. He wasn't expecting a visitation of God. He wasn't expecting anything from the supernatural. All he was doing was plowing the North 40. And so, I'm persuaded to believe that he never saw Elijah walking across the field. And Elijah didn't shout and say, "Hey, I'm on my way, Elijah. You better perk up." He just kind of slipped up on his blind side. While he's applying with those 12 yoke of oxen, oh, Elijah took that mantle off of his shoulder and he just kind of wrapped it around Elisha. And when he wrapped it around Elisha, he didn't say, "Now, son, God's calling you. It's going to be different from this day. I want you to follow me." He never said a word. When he put the mantle on him, he turned around and started walking off. Man, what a crazy thing. Somewhere off. But something happened to Elisha. He threw down that plowshare. And he ran up to Elijah and said, "Wait a minute! If you give me enough time to break this plowshare, I'll build a fire. And not only will I build a fire, I'll kill these oxen. And you talk about a barbecue, we'll have us a barbecue. And if you'll give me just a few minutes to tell my folks goodbye, I'm going with you." Elijah said, "What am I to do with you?" In other words, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? I didn't ask you to go. No, you may not have asked me to go. But when that mantle touched me, when I felt the touch of that mantle, something happened down here in my heart. And when it did, I knew I can never be happy. I can never be content. I can never stay on this farm anymore. I've got to go with you." Oh, listen, church. I want you to know this may be an ordinary night. Maybe for some of us, it's just another Friday night. But this could be the night that the Holy Ghost would come up to us and wrap the mantle around us. And when it did, this could be the first day of something great, mighty, and miraculous. Oh, yes. Elijah said, "You don't have to go. I didn't ask you to go." No, you didn't. But there's something in that mantle. "I can't stay here even if I wanted to. I'll never be happy. I'll never be content. I'll never have any joy. I'll never be satisfied to sit here on this farm and plow like my daddy and my granddaddy and my great-granddaddy and all of my ancestors before me. Because when you put the mantle on me, it done something to my heart." I think there's some lessons in that. I'm going to briefly hit one or two of them, and then I'm going to get on with what I want to talk about tonight. I think that if we could come to the understanding of what the Holy Ghost really is, and I said what it is a person. It's not a thing. It's not an it. It's a him. It's Christ. Christ. Christ in you. It's a who. It's not a what, but that Holy Ghost in you will do something to your life. It'll change your way of thinking. It'll change your way of talking. It'll change your way of living. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. They had a barbecue, and Elijah stalked off. And when he did, Elisha fell in behind him. Come on, Elisha. Everywhere that Elijah went, Elisha went behind. Now, a lot of preachers preach that as soon as he put the mantle around him, Elijah was asked by Elisha, and I say, "Fella, what am I going to get out of this? You know, I want a double portion." Elijah never offered anything, and Elisha never asked for anything. Read it for yourself, my friend. Elijah never told him one thing, neither did Elisha ask one thing. Elijah just walked. Never where Elijah went to saw Elisha. Man, you're talking about somebody dogging yourself. Now, you're going to have to get up and get with it. You're going to stay with me. I'm telling you. Everywhere that he went, Elisha, you invited one of them for dinner. You had both of them. If you had to have one of them in your house for the night, you had both of them. Because Elisha wouldn't let him out. What in the world's the matter with you? I don't know. You're the one wrapped the mantle around me. I can't understand it. Maybe I don't know everything I'm supposed to know. All I know is I've got to follow you. I've got to stay right with you. I'm never happy far from you. Oh, when we get the Holy Ghost, I said when we get the Holy Ghost, we're never happy away from the presence of God. There's something in our heart. We want to get close. We refuse to be separated. One day they're sitting down, been taking it easy. Elijah looked at Elisha, said, I'll tell you what. You know, I never asked you to go with me. You know, you could get to be a pest. You know, never was my intention for you to follow me. I'll tell you what. I got to go to Bethel. Why don't you just stay over here? It won't take me long. I'll go. Elisha may have sat there a little bit. But when Elijah started walking off, he jumped up and said, hey, wait a minute. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you. Bethel is the meeting place with God. Bethel typifies repentance. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to repent. No, you don't have to repent. You can die and go on to hell. But if you're going to follow the Spirit, you've got to repent. You can't sit in the execution of your sins and the drudgery of your life of carnality. You've got to go to battle. You've got to meet God there. You've got to do some praying. You've got to do some crying. They went to Bethel, took care of the business, and one day they're sitting there. Elijah said, you know what? I feel like in the Holy Ghost, I got to go over to Jericho. I'll tell you what, that's a long way. I'm not going to be there long. You just stay here. I'll be back soon. But when he started off, Elisha said, wait a minute! As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you. And they went to Jericho. And Jericho is that place of total surrender. That's where the walls fall down. That's where I surrender my will. That's where I give up my attitudes. That's where I get some convictions from God. That's where I get rooted and grounded in the Holy Ghost. That's where I get victory, not only over myself, but I get victory over the world. I get victory over the devil. I get victory over every evil spirit. At Jericho, I find something that I never had found before. And so, they got through at Jericho. They're sitting around one day. That old prophet sitting there looking at that young prophet. And he said, now look, fella, enough's enough. I got to go over Jordan. Now, I'll tell you what, why don't you just stay here? It won't take me long. I can take care of my business. You just stay here. And he started up. But before he could get away, that young prophet Elisha said, wait a minute! As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you. And the prophet turned and said, then and only then, what in the world do you want? Why are you dogging my step? Everywhere I've gone, you've gone. What in the world is wrong with you? What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? And I'm going to tell you, this is going to be the Smith translation here. Elijah looked at Elijah, and Elijah still had that old garment. Listen, most of us wouldn't hardly use it for our dogs to lay on. His old garment was threadbare. It was patched with patches on patches. It looked like it was ready for the rag pile. In fact, the rag man couldn't have gotten much use out of it. But he had that old mantle slung over his shoulder, and Elijah said, "Now, Master, I don't know what in the world's in that old mantle. I got a better one at home that I never wore because I thought it was too threadbare. And I don't know what, it sure ain't no pretty looks in that thing. But there is sure something in that mantle that you wrapped around me. So I tell you what, Master, if you just give me a double portion." Woo! Double means twice as much, two times as many.
Elijah said, "Well, son, or boy, you're asking a hard thing. It's not easy what you've asked for. But if you're faithful to the end." That's what he was saying. I told you this is Smith translation. The scripture says, he said, "If you go with me and you see me when I go up." But what he's saying is, if you're faithful to the end, the same that endured to the end, or he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. That's what Elijah was saying. If you walk with me all the way, then when I am taken away, you can have what you want. They come to the banks of the Jordan River. And when they got there, Elisha might have asked the question, "Well, Master, I hate to tell you, but we missed the bridge. It's upstream. And the ferry's downstream. We picked the worst possible place to get across. We can't jump it. We sure can't wade it. I ain't much of a swimmer. What are we going to do?" Elijah took that same old mantle, thing that started the whole thing. The same old mantle. He just took that mantle and he... "Now let's walk across on dry ground." That ground was as dry and as hard as the carpet on this floor. They got on the other side. And Elisha saw it. It's described thusly in his cry. I'll paraphrase maybe just a little bit. "A chariot of fire and the whirlwind." That's where they get that old song, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Come, Father, carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Come in for to carry me home." Said, "I looked over Jordan. What did I see?" He said, my Lord, what am I seeing? A chariot of fire and a whirlwind coming to take my master home." And when that whirlwind put Elijah in the midst of that flaming chariot, Elisha realized, "We in trouble." He said, "There goes Israel's defense. Our strength is not in our armies and our horsemen. Our defense is that old prophet of God. And the only reason they've been blessed is him." And then Elisha remembered, "Hey, wait a minute, Elijah. Remember me. I walked the last mile with you. I went the last step with you. I'm seeing you go up. Remember me." Now, it's commonly preached that Elijah threw his mantle out and it hung on Elisha, but that's not scriptural. The Bible said
that the mammal floated to the ground. And it was Elijah's response that made the difference. You see, it wasn't the old threadbare garment. It was what that garment represented. And if I could just picture it just for a little bit for you here, and I know time's racing on, but here we go. Elijah stepped back and looked at that mantle. And if he'd have been like some of us, he'd have said, "Oh, well, if God wanted me to have it, he'd have hit me right the first time. And if God was going to do it, he'd just pour it out on me." Now, for some people, have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, if God wanted me to have the Holy Ghost, he'd give it to me"? Ever hear anybody say that? You know, that's ignorance personified. That's the epitome of stupidity. That's like telling a man that's drowning out in the ocean and he's going down for the third time. That's like saying, "If I want to save you, I'm going to hit you with a life ring the first throw." Son, that drowning man don't care if you hit him or not. You just get it close enough where I can get my fingers on it. You miss me a few feet, I'll get to it. And Elisha looked at that and said, "Well, I don't feel no difference." Who said feel anything? "Well, if God wanted me to have it, he'd have hit me. See, that must not be for me because it missed me. But it's laying there. You can have it if you want it. But you can't sit on the stool or do nothing and get it. You got to get up." And when he walked over and he got that mantle and slung it over his shoulder, he waited for the quivers. But they didn't come. He waited for the shaking. But it didn't come. Come out and ring the bell. Ain't no bell ring yet. Somebody toot the horn. But I don't hear no trumpet note. Where's the earthquake? Where's the whirlwind? Why don't I feel any different? Why ain't something happening to me? You see, it's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Knowing I got the mantle. I got the mantle. I don't know if Elijah had anything else, but I know he had a mantle. I don't know if there's anything to it. All I know is that he touched me with a mantle. And when he touched me with a mantle, it changed my way of thinking. It changed my way of living. It changed my place of residence. It changed my way of walking. It changed my way of talking. It changed everything about me. I don't know if there's anything in the mantle. All I know is that we come through the river with it. And Elijah walked back to that same Jordan River. Oh, Lord, where is Elijah? Well, Elijah's gone and you won't see him no more this side of glory. Well, what am I going to do? Why don't you use what you've got? Use what you've got. What do I have? All I've got left is that old mantle. And he took that old mantle and he smote the waters and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I'll tell you, the Lord God of Elijah is now the Lord God of Elijah. And when he walked back to the sons of the prophet, they couldn't help but notice he's got the mantle. They said, "Elijah's gone. He's gone. You go look for him. You hunt for him. You won't find him in this world. He's not here anymore. He's gone."
And I tell you what, he may be gone, but I got something that belonged to him. I got the mantle. He proved himself, or the Spirit proved himself through Elisha. And Elisha was established as the prophet of God in the land. All because of an old mantle that most of us wouldn't give a second look at. All because by the sound of an old threadbare, weather-beaten, patched garment. It was the mantle of the prophet. Jesus Christ was God incarnate in flesh. That means that he simply, around his spirit, wrapped flesh. Because you can't see spirit, and he wanted us to see. He wanted the world to touch him. And so they saw the flesh, and the flesh was the Son of God. And he walked down the shores of Galilee. He knelt down one day and he built a little fire and he cooked some bread and fried some fish. Whew. As Jesus did that. And when the boat come in, the disciples were tired and hungry. And he said, come on, boys, come and dine. I got the table spread. I got the food cooked. It's hot off the fire. Oh, what a master. Walked along the seashore one night. They're out in the boat, and they must have been a bunch of superstitious individuals. Because they said, whoa, it's a ghost. He said, oh, don't be afraid. It is I. Peter said, I tell you what, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come to you. He said, come on. I like that. Oh, Peter jumped off the side of that boat and walked on the water. Now, I want you to know that as long as he had his mind in the right place, and his eyes in the right direction, he walked on the water. But then that old fleshly nature took over and said, you crazy? Do you know where you are? Oh. I'm standing on the water. Them waves are splashing up, getting my robe wet. And winds are blowing my hair. Save me! Jesus just reached out, pulled him back up on top of the water. What an experience. He walked through a dusty road one day, and there's a lame man sitting by the wayside. He took care of it. A blind man on the Jericho road, he prayed for. He was walking downtown one day and they had a funeral and there that mama was crying her eyes out because it was her only son and her husband was dead and how in the world am I going to make it now? And he said, boy, get up off that funeral bier. And the dead got up and walked again. One day he was walking along with some of his disciples and he said, now fellas, I want you to know something that you need to know. I'm going to have to go away. I can't stay with you always. That's not what I come down for. And when I go away, my Father or my Spirit is going to send to you another Comforter. Now the world can't receive him because they don't even know him. But you know him. And you walk with him. But I like what he said. Not many days hence, he's going to be in you. In you. In you. disciples weren't too happy about another comforter. They were satisfied with Jesus, and they didn't get what he was saying. They couldn't understand what he was trying. So he told them what they could understand. He said, "Don't be alarmed. Don't be upset. Don't be dismayed. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And they walked up Golgotha's hill and they crucified him. He said, "I thirst." And gall mingled with vinegar they offered him. He cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But then there was a cry that come from the deep of his heart. I wish I had time to preach on those three words. They shook the heavens. Those three words shook the heavens. They stirred the earth and they upset hell. Because he cried with a voice saying, "It is finished." Well, since I don't have time to preach about it, they took him off the cross, put him in the tomb, and then he went down into the belly of hell. And he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. That he come out. And you'll read it for yourself in Acts chapter 1. Turn over there and read it for us. I don't want them to think I'm making this up. I'm telling you, he didn't just go away. He said, "I tell you what," when he appeared to them in the last chapter of the book of Luke. You can read it for yourself. He reiterated to them again the necessity of the death, burial, and resurrection of his own body. But he said, "I'm going to tell you what to do about it. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem, I want you to tarry until you be endued with the promise from on high. It's the power of God. And when you get there, I'm going to give you something you've never had before." And then the Bible said, what did it say about him when he was standing there getting ready to go up? Begin to read the verse 8.
"But ye shall receive power."
"But ye shall receive that now."
The power.
"I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm not going to leave you without authority. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Why? You got the mantle? While they were looking, he started rising in the air. They got all upset and all out of sorts, but they had words of comfort offered to them. What did the angel say?
"And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received them in their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee,
oh, people, don't.
Why stand you gazing up into heaven?
Stand here wasting your time looking after it.
This same Jesus. Which is taken up from into heaven.
Which you see going up now.
Shall so come in like manner. As you have seen him go.
And I want you to know in Acts chapter 2, beginning to read the verse 1.
"And when the day of Pentecost
was fully come,
they were all with one accord
in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting.
And cloven tongues like as of fire sat on each of them.
And they were all filled.
You know what happened? He dropped the mantle. It's there. All you gotta do is go get it. Get it. Take it for yourself. You gotta put it on. Oh, church, somehow I feel like that God has dropped the mantle in Minden. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? I'm going after it. I'm going for it. I'm gonna reach for it. I'm gonna try my best to get it. Oh, Lord. Religions of this day said, "What? That old combination? You mean you still believe in that old combination?
don't you know this is modern day? Don't you know God don't do it like that anymore? Well, big boy, says who? Oh, but you don't understand. That's not for us. Oh? Well, Brother Sam, you got to give it back. Well, they say it's not for you. Well, how do you know it's for you? Wow. You didn't get nothing. You just thought you did. How do you know you did? Well, how do you know you're talking in tongues? Well, you know, I hate to tell you. We're wasting our time here. You know, the days of revival are over. And we're going to shed and we're going to dig our moat. We're going to draw up the drawbridge and we're going to sing, "Hold the fort." And hope that we can make it by the skin of our teeth. Because the days of revival are over. I feel kind of like the Episcopalian vicar's wife felt. Kaiser, West Virginia, we were preaching there. I told you this story. I'll just refresh it to you. The organist for their church received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a street service we were conducting there in the city. Under written contract, had to finish her contract with the church, but told the vicar there, said, "As soon as my contract is up, I won't renew because I'm going somewhere where there is something." But I played my last doxology when that day comes. And he didn't want to lose her, so he sent his wife down with her, you know, to take care of everything. And his wife come to church, the vicar's wife, that's the Episcopalian preacher's wife, come, and lo and behold, she got the Holy Ghost. Well, we know she got it for stuff. And she burst in on him. He's at the house. And she started hollering and screaming. He's in his study writing his Sunday morning sermon. And she burst in the house. And he thought something was after her, somebody or something. And he got all out of sorts and yanked his glasses off. Nearly turned his chair over. Looked around because she come running through the house into the study screaming, "Horace, Horace, Horace! Horace!" Jumped up. "My God, what's wrong? Oh, what's wrong?" She said, "I got the Holy Ghost." "What is wrong with you, woman? Scare me to death." "What? What are you talking all that nonsense for? You sound like one of them apostolics down the road. You know, we don't believe in that nonsense." "But Horace, I got it." He said, "You can't get the Holy Ghost today." She said, "But I did." "What in the world are you talking about, woman?" She said, "I talked in tongues." He said, "You know talking in tongues is of the devil." She said, "Oh, no." He said, "I know what happened. You went down out of that church. I know them people. And they got around you, and one of them pulled your hand, another pulled one ear and the other one ear. One of them screamed in one ear, and another screamed in another ear, 'Hold on, give up, hold on, give up, hold on, give up.' And they give you a rub down, and they cluck your chin, and they just jiggled you, and they shouted, and they brainwashed you." She said, "But Horace, nobody but the organ player was behind me, and no one touched me. I was just sitting there, and something got a hold of me, and when I come to myself, I was on my feet, with my hands in the air, and I was talking in tongues." Well, to refresh your memory just a little bit, Father, he decided to come to church one night. I told you about it, the amusing incident that happened. I won't go into that. But he sat on the front row. That's a good place for you to be. When the fire falls, let it fall on God. Something knocked him out in the middle of the floor and it shot the light out of him. He thought somebody pushed him off the pew. Somebody had. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Got up and sat down the second time. He was
in the middle of the floor on his hands and knees. He's getting upset. And the third time it happened, and finally he shook his head and said, "Oh, God," said, "I don't understand this. I don't know anything about this. I don't know what you're trying to do, but if this is for me, I want it." He got it. He got it. He got it. We know that he did because we heard him speak with tongues when he got it. I like that old song. I'm going to tell you, we used to sing some good old songs, and you know how I feel about some of the music today. I'm very diplomatic, but every once in a while I do slip it in. And just as rock and roll music is wrong and dangerous to you, so is country western. And I'm going to tell you something else. This rock gospel is just as harmful to you as any of the others. But I used to like it, and I could shout and still can. When that crowd get up there and they'd sing, this is an old one, they'd say, "Oh, oh, oh, somebody touch me. Oh, 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 somebody touch me. It must have been the hand of the Lord." And when I hear that, I can tell. Because you see, one day he dropped the mantle, and I run over, and I picked it up, and I put it on, and now I can say, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. Oh, it's real. Hallelujah. Well, my time's gone, but let me just share a few more things with you. Minden, this is an ordinary night. This is Friday night, the night before Saturday night, and the night after Thursday night. We come to church tonight like we've been doing for about 13 or 14 weeks. Dear Lord, when are we going to get rid of this town? Just an ordinary night. We come and we've had church. We open with a reading from the Word of the Lord or a reference to it. We prayed. We sang praises unto the Lord. We heard a special. Brother Barnes talked. Brother Sorrows greeted you. Sister Smith sang to you just like she's been doing. And I got up here and talked to you. Just another Friday night. Just an ordinary day. Just one night out of many nights in a 14-week revival. Just another time to have church. Many empty places on the pews tonight. Some gone on vacation. Some gone to family reunions. Some sick. And some just plain laying out. But we're here. It's just another night. You know, in the spirit, I haven't heard any bells clang, clang, ding, dong. I haven't even heard any sirens, not in the spirit nor out there either. I hadn't seen any lightning flash nor heard any thunder roll. This platform, neither has that floor shaken beneath my feet. The only wind I feel right now is what little bit of wind's coming out of them vents, and ain't nowhere near enough right now. Just an ordinary church service. No angels sounding trumpets saying, "The Lord of glory is present in your midst." Michael is not shouting, "The Holy One of the earth has come to visit with you." We're like Elisha. We're doing what we've been doing. Walking behind the plow. We're so busy looking at the road, we don't see what's coming over the hill. Hear something. And see something. In the spirit.
Could it be that this is the night that the Holy Ghost will wrap its mantle around us? Ooh. No advance warning, and when it happens, it's not going to be told. There's not going to be any billboards, flashing lights, or screaming sirens, or loud sound systems saying, "This is it, this is it, Elijah's on the way, the mantle's fixing to touch it." No. It's going to be an ordinary day. Maybe this is the night that I can finally say, we've pounded on these pipes. We've had to join 30 sections together and look like we still ain't struck water. But see, me like that last little thump gurgled. Bring the shotgun. And we'll blow this line clear. And we'll see if we got any water down there. Could this be the night? Brother Braswell, could this be the night that the mantle softly enfolds us? Maybe so lightly that if we're not sensitive to the Spirit, we won't even feel its touch. Could this be the night something apostolic gets a hold of me? And in spite of what I see, feel, or hear, I get a hold of something and I say, "Wait a minute! Let me build a fire. Let me offer a sacrifice. And I'll follow thee." And maybe even the Spirit would say, "I didn't ask you. Maybe you didn't. But when you touch me with that mantle, I can't help myself. I can't stay here. I'll never be happy. I'll never be satisfied. I've got to go where you go. I'm going to go where you stop. I'm going to stop over the hills, through the valleys. I don't care. We'll cross the river, but I'm going with you." I'll be honest with you. I'm feeling something. I'm feeling something here right now. I know it's just another Friday night service, but oh, there's something just kind of working me over right now. I feel like something's trying to wrap around me. Here I am, Lord. Let me open my arms. Man, you give me that mantle. You wrap it around me. God, I won't refuse it. God, I won't turn away from it. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to open my heart. Listen, everybody in this building that doesn't have the Holy Ghost ought to be talking in tongues right now. I'm going to say it again. Some of you didn't hear it. If you heard it, you didn't believe it. Everything in this building that doesn't have the Holy Ghost ought to be talking in tongues right now. If you just open your mouth and open your heart and let the Holy Ghost fall. Oh, give me the mantle. Give me the mantle. You say, "Well, I'm waiting to feel it." You don't have to wait to feel it. Believe it. Believe it. If you repent and are baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, you shall. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somehow I sense that walking across our freshly plowed furrows, the mantle's on the way. For the Barnes is labored. This coming September the 8th will be 35 years that he's labored here at Minden. This building, this congregation is a testimony of his vision, of his burden, of his work. For 5 years, going on 6 years, Brother Braswell has labored with you. And he has just added to the thrust of this church. And he's been a great blessing to your pastor and to you. You're very blessed and fortunate to have these two men. And you know what they've been doing all of these years? They've been taking care of the inheritance. They didn't neglect it. They worked it. They're not fooling around. They're making sure everything. But somehow, some way, And somewhere in the middle of this field, the mantle's coming. And when the mantle wraps around, oh, I'm not taking away from anything that's ever been done. You know that. I'm talking about adding to. We never take away. We just add to. Just add to. Just add to. Don't ever give anything away as far as your salvation is concerned, but add to it. Add to it. Add to it. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. It's not taking away from any service or move of God that's ever been present in this place or in the other building either. I'm talking about getting the mantle. Elijah plowed those furrows. He farmed that farm and did the best he could do. But when the mantle was wrapped around him, he realized, this field isn't big enough for me anymore. I got to reach out there and I've got to go. I've got to follow the mantle. And church, I'm telling you, you could double, you could triple, you could quadruple. Oh, I don't believe it. I know you don't, Thomas. Why don't you get out if you don't believe it? Why don't you just get away and let those of us that will believe it, that dare to believe it, let us stand and let us cry as the Lord liveth. And as I soul, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going with you. I think we all ought to stand our feet and lift our hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hey man, it's Melinda, isn't it? The young lady, is it Melinda? Melinda last night was in this altar. Sunday night she was in this altar again last night. After she had prayed and got a touch of that heavenly power. And the touch of the Lord was strong on her. But she got up and she went into the dressing room and come down into the watery grave. And when she come out of the grave, he wrapped the mantle around her. He wrapped it around her. And now then, she's standing there tonight with hands in the air and trembling under the touch of the power, weeping because she's got the mantle. Do you think she's going to stay where she's been? Oh, no. She's going to follow after that. She's going to walk in it. She's going to live in it. She's going to do what she knows to do by the leadership of the Spirit. Oh! Some of you that are in this service tonight, you need the Holy Ghost. My Lord, why don't you come let him wrap the mantle around you? I said, why don't you come let him wrap the mantle around you? Here, Lord, don't do no good standing back there. Just said, I wish I had it, I wish I had it, I wish I had it. Well, come get it. The mantle's laying here. Oh, but if God wanted me to have it, he'd drop it on me. No, he didn't drop it on Elisha. He dropped it to the ground, and Elisha had to go over to the ground and pick it up. There's laying here. You know, I don't know how you feel, but there's enough Holy Ghost here. I feel like I could reach out and get a hunk of it. I'll tell you what I want us to do. Let's just do it this way. I want all of our men just to come and gather in over here on this side. Gather in over on this side. All of our men, get in over here. Now, we don't have all night. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, brethren. Amen. All of the men that are in this building, I don't care if you're a member of this church or not a member, it doesn't matter. I want every man that's in this building, I want you to come. Gather in close here. Gather in close here. Gather in close. Every man, every young man, I don't care what your age is. The boys, let all the men come in. Gather in here. Gather in here close now. Get in as close as you can get. Pack in here. Amen. We're going to wedge it in tonight. Amen, amen, amen. And all you ladies, we want you to gather in over here on this side. Amen. All you ladies, gather in over here on this side. Now, come on in and get as close as you can get. Amen, amen. Get in here and pack around the front tonight. Praise the Lord. As a church, we're coming to the altars. As a church, we're coming to the altars. As a church, we're coming to the altars. That's it. God bless you. Just pack it in. Amen, amen. Well, men, they got us outnumbered, but I tell you what, we can make up for it. Amen. We can get a hold of that mantle and let that mantle get a hold of us. Amen, amen. Now, I tell you what I want us to do. You ladies, I want you to reach out. And we're going to make a solid chain over here. Let it not be broken. Let it be unbroken. Make a solid chain. Connect with your neighbor on every side. Brethren, you do the same thing. Now, if there's any of you out in here in the ladies' side, you don't have the Holy Ghost, open your mouth and open your heart. Because it remains to be said that you should have already repented. If you haven't repented, go ahead and repent while you're standing there before we go to pray. Same way over here, brethren. If there's any here that need the Holy Ghost, open your mouth and open your heart. And of course, you should have already repented. If you haven't repented, do it right now. And I want us to pray this prayer. God, let it fall on me. Let it fall on my neighbor. Let your spirit consume me. Let it consume every one of us. Pray for your neighbor as though their very life depended on it. Pray like you've never prayed before. Come on, church. Let's believe God for it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would drive out every fear and doubt. Break the bonds. Cause the fetters to be riven. Let the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building be tenderized by the presence of the Holy Ghost. Let the holy name of Jesus the Christ be vindicated in this service tonight. Let the glory of that presence and of that power saturate this building. Let the very Shekinah presence of God manifest itself in a little way to our hearts. Let the winds of heaven blow. Let the waves of the Spirit roll across our lives tonight and bring us into the sphere of understanding of spiritual things. Baptize every one of us with the baptism of power. Everyone that's here tonight that's repented and been baptized in your name or willing to be, baptize them with thy holy presence. Let the Holy Ghost be a river. Let it be a well springing up. A well springing up. Oh, Holy Ghost, do it tonight.